Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Wix. Get started on the perfect website for your business, your blog, podcast, whatever it may be. Go to wix.com/podcast and get 10% off. Wix.com/podcast. WIX.com/podcast. Hey, what you doing Saturday, August 24th? Going to be anywhere near Lexington, Kentucky? If so, I hope you can join me along with the crew at the podcast Hillbilly Horror Stories, Jerry and Tracy, for their birthday show. We're going to do a live podcast at Columbia Steakhouse in Lexington, Kentucky, starting at 7 o'clock that night. It'll be an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live along with Hillbilly Horror Stories as we celebrate the birth of their podcast. Yeah, we're going to be celebrating. They've been around now for quite a while, so congratulations to them. Tickets are only $15, and they are very limited. If you want in on this, get them before they sell out. Lexington, Kentucky, Saturday, August 24th, Columbia Steakhouse. If you want those tickets, go to Real Ghost Stories Online. Click on Tour Dates, and you'll find the link there to get your tickets for August 24th, Lexington, Kentucky, Hillbilly Horror Stories, along with Real Ghost Stories Online, Columbia Steakhouse, Lexington, Kentucky. We will see you there. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, after a father passes, he returns to watch over his children. A family tries to debunk a clear return of a deceased grandmother. And what is the identity of a decrepit woman who appeared out of nowhere to a man?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to us. Just send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get those stories into us. Tickets available still. August 24th, I will be at Columbia Steakhouse in Lexington, Kentucky, along with Hillbilly Horror Stories. It is their birthday show, and it'll be a fun night. Tickets are only $15, so if you're in that part of the country, come on out, and we'll have a fun night with our two podcasts together. Only 80 tickets available. I know they're getting down there on them, so check it out. Just go to realghoststoriesonline.com, click on Tour Dates, and you will find the link for getting those. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to going to that very show I just talked about, the Hillbilly Horror Stories one. I'm not looking forward to flying.
Sorry.
I'm not a fan of flying, no matter how many times I do it. You know, it's not one of those things where it's like, oh, you did it and now you're... I'm not like shaking afraid. I just don't like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
And I know it's like, it's safer when I think about it. Like, I think safety is what it comes down to for me. I don't know. I think I saw Final Destination too many times as a child, like a teenager or something.
I don't know. I've had more moments where I felt like I'm going to die on a plane than I ever have in a car.
Yeah.
And I don't fly a lot.
Sure. Me too.
And I know flight. Yeah, statistically is safer, but I don't like that I'm going to die feeling, you know?
It's like, you just kind of almost get me like, oh, this is going to suck, you know? But it's like, it's, your odds are, you know, much greater on a road, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Than on, you know, an airplane. But it's, but I think you do, you're right. You may have more of those feelings than not in an airplane. But I think that may also be due to lack of, you know, frequent flying experience. I'm sure some of the stuff that we may go and like, oh my God, the stewardess are just like, okay, that's what you always got to look for in a plane.
Yeah.
Is if it's, you're going through a rough patch or something, if this, the stewardess look remotely concerned and if they do, oh, then it's game on. But if they're just like, okay, this is just going to be kind of rough getting the orange juice to everybody, then it's like, that kind of makes you a little more
And that works unless you look at them and they're freaking out too. Then you're not any better off.
That's the problem.
Now
yeah.
you're fucked as much as they are.
That's what I said. If they look remotely concerned, then it's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
But it was just like, because I've been amazed sometimes at how, I don't know, adventurous is the right term, but what they'll go through sometimes to get that drink cart down the aisle. Mm-hmm. Even on like a fairly rough flight. I've been on some where they just say, sorry, we can't do it right now.
Yeah.
But I've been on some where it's like, really? You're gonna brave the... And if they're doing it, you're like, it must be... what I'm gauging is like, this is pretty bad. Ain't that bad.
I don't know. There's just been, in the past couple of months, quite a few headlines about planes hitting severe turbulence to where there's ambulances waiting when people are getting off the plane. So... that's the kind of shit I don't want to deal with.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
That'll be a good time.
Yeah.
But once I get there, it'll be fun.
It will.
I'll get there and I'll be like, I'm taking a car back. Screw the flight. So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. The Real Ghost Stories online to share your real ghost stories with us. Our first one says, one of my most memorable ghost stories took place just after my dad died when I was 16. My dad had been sick for most of my childhood with a degenerative bone disease and later emphysema. After he became ill when I was 5, he and my mom switched places, so to speak. He started staying home with me and she went back to work. I'd always been a sleepy-headed kid, so when I was a teenager, each morning at 5 a.m., my dad would press the test button on my smoke detector besides my bedroom door to wake me up. I'd pull myself out of bed, startled awake by the loud noise of that alarm, and find my dad with his finger on the button laughing. He was always up by 4 a.m., but knowing I wasn't a morning person, he thought this was a fun and mischievous way to wake me for school. I remember the last time I saw my dad. I was leaving for the day, and although I didn't normally say goodbye, I just had a sense that I should say it that morning. Unfortunately, I returned home from school that afternoon to find out that he had died while I was in class. He had laid down on the sofa to take a nap, and when his friend called, my mom went to wake him, but he had passed away. We were told that my dad had died of a heart attack brought on by his emphysema. The morning after he died at exactly 5 a.m., the smoke detector beside my bedroom door went off. I was jarred awake and didn't immediately remember that my dad had died the previous day. My mom and I walked into the living room. When our eyes met, we were in shock. The alarm stopped as we stared at one another, awestruck. Reality set in. We had no explanation other than that my dad's spirit was still with us. It was about 3 months after he died that my mom and I sat in the kitchen one night with a Ouija board between our knees, fingertips on a cream-colored planchette. My mom has always been interested in the paranormal, so she raised me to understand my prophetic dreams and premonitions, to not be afraid of seeing ghosts. She and I even dabbled in witchcraft as I was growing up. I had sort of went out on my own in that sense as a teenager and had purchased a Ouija board and other occult items. That night, we were asking the Ouija board various questions. We weren't seeing a lot of activity at first, but then the planchette began moving more quickly, and we were getting some pretty good answers when our countertop microwave came on by itself. We were surprised, but my mom got up, turned it off, and returned to the board. It wasn't long until the microwave door sprung open, and it turned on by itself again. The turntable revolving without explanation. We were stunned. She and I had always had paranormal encounters, but this was both frightening and amazing. My mom turned the microwave off, unplugged it, and carried it outside to a picnic table. And when she returned undeterred, we kept playing with the board. Just a few more questions my mom wanted to have answered. She asked who I would marry. The board replied, Chuck. We got a pretty good laugh out of that because my sister was married to a man of the same name. We made a few jokes about it, getting my sister and me mixed up and how much we must look alike. And then my mom asked the last name of the man I would marry, and it told us that too. It wasn't a very common name, so we made a few more wisecracks. We were pretty tired by this time, so we returned to the board, to its box, and went to bed. That microwave never returned to our kitchen. Fast forward to my 19th birthday. That day, my mom told me that I would be married before I was 20. And I asked her, why do you say that? She said it was just a feeling she had. I thought it was strange because I wasn't even dating anyone. Exactly 6 months later, a handsome and friendly man came into the shop where I was working. He said his name was Chuck and asked me if he could call me. As we talked on the phone and got to know one another, he asked if he could take me on a date. The next afternoon, we had an enjoyable first date at a local park. We got along well and seemed to feel an instant connection. Chuck and I married 4 months later, but it wasn't until then that it dawned on me that the Ouija board had given me my husband's first name and last name 3 years before we ever met. Was it my dad turning on the microwave just as he had the smoke detector? Was it him giving my mom and I the name of the man I would marry? Chuck and I will celebrate our 16th anniversary this September. He's become accustomed to the strange paranormal events that take place around me. I've told him they're just par for the course of the woman whose dad had a premonition of her arrival into the world 1 year to the exact minute of her birth, and that's a story for another day. Thank you for providing me and all of your other listeners with a platform to share our ghost stories.
I think the mom was still using the Ouija board. And that's how she knew the daughter was going to get married.
Are you going to answer that?
That's what I think.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, this is a case where the Ouija board gave information that did not turn out to be, harmful.
Mm-hmm.
But still.
Still, it's questionable.
As far as, what else could be coming in with it?
Mm-hmm.
You get the good, and then maybe you're going to get some of the bad as well?
Maybe. I don't know. I could just see, though, that after, they had that session, that the mom's still doing that, trying to reach out.
Sure. I can understand that. There's a board game place here in town, a board game coffee shop, where you can play all different board games. I wonder if they have a Ouija board in there.
Probably not. Not here in Branson. That kind of stuff doesn't fly in Branson.
I don't know. I could see there just being a certain level of, it's a game. It's not real.
No,
type
not.
Ignorance to it. Now you think they're...
It's so family oriented. I bet they don't have one.
Be a great store to open up. You just sell collectible vintage Ouija boards.
Yeah, I don't think that would fly here.
They were selling the Stranger Thing one down at the Landing in the toy store.
A Ouija board that was Stranger Things?
Yeah, Stranger Things theme one.
Oh.
And it looked like the letters that were in Stranger Things. It was kind of neat. I got it for you for your birthday.
Oh, great.
Yep.
Okay.
It's in a box. We'll open it up and have some fun on the show.
Yeah.
About a year. It'd be great fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Back to the ghost stories in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Wix. Create a professional website by yourself. Yes. And this is great for really any skill level when it comes to website design and creation, whether you are an expert at it and you want an interface that works seamlessly and wonderfully and has all the tools and everything right there for you. Oh, my God. Wix is your cornucopia of wonderment. If you've never created a website before, if you have sometimes difficulty opening your email, oh my goodness, Wix can help you create an amazing website, and you will be so proud and so satisfied and so shocked at just how easy it is. Wix is there for literally everyone. I absolutely love these guys. Right now, you can get it at 10% off. Go to wix.com/podcast. Over 140 million people use Wix for their website. You can start and publish for absolutely free as well. That's another great thing about them. So you can really try this thing out for free, publish for free. And if you go, I love this, let's take it to the next level, then there you go. Sign up and get 10% off by going to wix.com/podcast. You can choose from over 500 stunning templates, start from scratch, change, customize, add anything you want. Your own text, images, videos, hundreds of design features and apps to grow the brand online, stuff that you used to have to kind of find in other sources and then plug it in and add it to the website. That's all there for you. Video backgrounds, galleries, menus, forms, list buttons, social bars, clip art, strips, everything. It is all there. SEO tools built in, that search engine optimization. It's there. It's awesome. You cannot go wrong with it. Manage and grow your business online are all in one place with Wix, okay? And this can be a personal website, too. It can be anything you want. If you want a web presence in some way, shape, or form on your very own URL, your very own web address, then Wix is what you need to get it done. Wix.com/podcast. Go there. Get yourself 10% off. Wix.com/podcast. Get 10% off at wix.com/podcast. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. My whole life I've experienced many different paranormal events, but this one has taken number one on my list. couple of months ago, I used to live in a house that many weird things would happen in, like plates being thrown when no one even touched them, doors closing on their own, TVs turning on, hearing people who didn't exist, things going missing, and even seeing things. I lived there for 15 years. But nothing compared to this. I was 12. This event happened. I still remember everything, and sometimes I can't sleep just thinking about it. That night, I slept in the living room because I was watching a movie, and I guess I fell asleep after. Next thing I remember was that I felt someone behind me, but it didn't feel normal. At first, I thought it's maybe my mom telling me to go to bed, but then I heard a groan and a weeping. So I decided to turn, and I saw the most horrific image. There was a woman sitting on the couch next to me. She was facing directly at me. Her face looked like it had holes in it and dirt. She was dressed in all black, and her mouth was opened, making noises louder and louder. And I was crying. I was frozen and terrified. I've never seen her before, and I didn't know what the thing was. Her hand was stretched out, trying to grab me, so I moved over and closed my eyes, and I prayed, and I turned around, and it was gone. I felt the biggest sense of relief. The next morning, I told my family about this, and my brother looked at me shocked and said about 2 weeks ago that he had seen the same thing. I don't know what it was, but it's not a good thing. He continued to say that when he saw her, his body froze and he couldn't move. After those two things happened, we never saw it again. Many other things like this would happen to my family. See a little girl running in the hallway. I'd sometimes see her in my room, but she wasn't a good spirit. Either because one day my brother saw her in his room and said that soon someone will die. Next morning, my aunt had passed away. We're pretty sure that was death itself roaming around my family. We saw many things, but by far these are the ones and evilish spirits that we've come face to face with. It was an interesting story for you. It was an amazing event for us.
I think it's so good when families can talk about when they see things, like, you know, how she shared it and her brother was like, yeah, I saw that too.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're always going to wonder, was it just me? Is this real? Somebody else can confirm it. So, you know, I know it's kind of an uncomfortable thing to talk about, but I think it's important, especially when it's ongoing.
Yeah, I mean, It validates the experience mm-hmm. a little bit more if you're going through it. It's one thing to just hear other people's stories that are unrelated to yours and go, oh, I'm not alone. But it's another when someone in your same house at the same time can say, yeah, mm-hmm. we went through that too. So it's something to think about when you have those things happen. Because I know a lot of the time instinctually the thought process is, I'm not going to tell anybody because I don't want them to think I'm crazy. There may be others thinking the same thing and just getting it out there. Is going to have a much more positive effect. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that one. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 if you want to share your real ghost story with us here on the show. Next one says, I bought a 1947 farmhouse a while back. It was a fairly ordinary home, but I was immediately drawn to it when I first saw it, fascinated by it for reasons I couldn't understand. From the moment I walked in the door with a realtor, I felt such a powerful sense of relief, like I had come home, and the positive energy in the place was radiant. I wasn't alone with this feeling. I had many guests and visitors to my home after I bought it. Most of them remarked on the very same qualities. Being a scientist by nature, up until that point, I was a firm non-believer in ghosts or supernatural activity, having never actually experienced anything myself. That opinion quickly changed. My first experience in this house was actually quite terrifying. It was shortly after 11 p.m., and I was not long in bed, already asleep. Suddenly, I was being blasted from sleep by what sounded like the smoke detector, horribly loud. For a few minutes, I just lay in bed listening to the horrible noises, ears plugged, hoping it would stop by itself. However, it didn't. Terrified, I traced the noise to the kitchen downstairs, which actually didn't have a smoke detector. The noise was literally deafening, far louder than any smoke detector I've ever heard. When I finally found the light switch and turned on the light, the noise promptly stopped. I wandered around the kitchen for a bit, hoping to find a toy or something that would explain the noise so I could turn it off, but I couldn't find anything. There was nothing electronic except my microwave, which has never before demonstrated such bad behavior. Shaken, I decided to go back to bed upstairs. The very second I got back into bed, and I mean the very second, there were precisely three more horrible beeps. Then, nothing more. It was like a confirmation. Yes, I am here. Although I refused to believe that then. I slept with my light on all night for the next two nights. My next experience occurred only a few weeks later, and this was truly the eeriest experience I've had my entire life. It was 4 a.m. when I was woken by the sound of a very small child singing. No words, just a pretty little tune. I have three children who also sleep upstairs, so at first I presumed it was one of them. And for a while, I just lay there listening to the little voice, enjoying it. Before long, it began to occur to me that the direction the singing was coming from was all wrong. It seemed to be coming from the attic above me, or the roof itself. I tried to explain it away by blaming the design of the house. I reasoned that one of my children must be singing and the trajectory of it making the sound like it's coming from above and outside. However, I had heard my children in their rooms before, and it had never sounded like it was coming from above me in my bedroom. I briefly considered the possibility that a small child was somewhere out at 4 a.m. had walked to my remote property to sing. Of course, that's ridiculous, and it still couldn't explain why the sound was coming from above. I listened to the singing for a very long time, knowing it would stop the moment I got up, trying to figure it out logically. I finally decided to get up and check the children, and the singing did stop promptly when I got up. But all three were fast asleep. I simply couldn't explain it, and I was awake for much of the night afterward, disturbed. There were other bizarre occurrences at the time, too, always occurring just shortly after 11 p.m. or 4 a.m. I didn't usually get to bed until 11 p.m., so I was usually wide awake for those ones. Many, many times, right after I went to bed, I'd hear conversations downstairs, always somewhat mechanical sounding. Like they're recordings of conversations, but as usual, the moment my feet touched the floor, they would stop. If I didn't get out of bed, they would go on indefinitely. One time, I heard an older woman talking on the phone downstairs right by the bottom of the stairs. She didn't actually have a phone there, but there is a phone jack. Her voice was so clear to me, I could almost hear what she was saying. And the sensation I got at these times was that there was definitely someone downstairs, a presence, almost like a thickness in the air. A lot of electrical things happened, too, particularly after 11 p.m. Toys turning on spontaneously, my computer somehow playing a sound beat which sounded like conversation even though it was shut down for the night, and there was never evidence of any video or MP3 player up and running on it when I checked on the next morning. One time again, just after 11 p.m., my TV turned on by itself and turned itself off right when my feet hit the floor, of course. Several times I was woken at 4 a.m. to hear a small dog whining right at my bedroom window, keeping in mind my bedroom is on the second floor. And that just didn't make any sense. I did learn to live with these things and accepted them as being part of the energy of the home. Never once did I get the feeling there was something malevolent or hostile there, but I most certainly did get the feeling that something was there. To me, it always seemed to be benign. It was kind of like a pet cat that would get up to mischief when the lights go out. While the occurrences themselves were very strange and sometimes frightening, mainly because I wasn't in control of them, they just logically didn't make any sense. In fact, that home was a tremendous source of comfort and relief. I don't have that house anymore, but I sure miss it. Ghosts and all.
Do you think they can trick you into feeling good when you walk into a space and feeling like, oh, this is the right place, and then it hits the fan once you're moved in?
Yeah. I think if it's intelligent and there's a goal of it wants somebody there, I think it would be doing everything it could to make you want to be there, especially the whole, you know, not only not showing itself, but as it said in that story, just kind of creating the welcoming aura.
Yeah.
The feeling, you know, I know some ghost stage houses, they really get into it, and you can go into some houses and you'll be like, oh my God, I didn't realize that like this was a farmhouse kitchen and all the shiplap. And you talk to the realtor, they're like, it's not. It's like stock cabinetry. It's really kind of crappy. I was expecting you to say you want to replace it. And you go and show it to the realtor, like, oh my God, they must have done it. You talk to the owners, they didn't do it. The ghosts, they came in. They had somehow watched HGTV and then created what that individual was looking for. That was a ghost story last week.
Was not.
It was on the Carol episode. That's why you haven't heard it.
Bullshit.
The ghosts staged the house.
I'm calling bullshit on you.
They staged the house.
Not true.
It's like, holy shit. They even created a neat little breakfast nook. They built on to the house. There was just a little window there, but they decided somebody's gonna like a little breakfast nook. It was like a little booth that they built in there.
And my point is, I would be very concerned if a ghost could literally change the energy that it exudes. Mm-hmm. That it's not, you know, most of them, it's like they're bad. You know they're bad.
Yeah.
But the ones that can be like actually affecting that to a point where you feel like it's a good thing, mm-hmm. that to me is very scary.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, if you can feel negativity, it's what you mm-hmm. hear quite common. I suppose positivity can be one too. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. There you go. You got to check out that episode. It's really interesting. The breakfast nook.
Oh my God.
I got through that with a pretty straight face.
You did, and then you started laughing.
That was good. Go to caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Brewskis. My name's Josh. I'm from Portland, Oregon. Oh, yeah, I was listening to your soul passing episode, and a lady was talking about a creature with large eyes that loomed over her son with big nails and whatnot. Okay, I'm going to hop right into it. When I was 16, I woke up with sleep paralysis, and there was this venom-like creature. So it looked like Venom from Spider-Man. However, it was thin. It was real scrawny. And it had large, soft, snake-like scales. Its movements were very fluid. It had a long tongue, big, long, sharp teeth, a massive maw of teeth, large smile, and a forked tongue. And I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. And it was like giddy. It was giggling and it was giddy because I was so afraid. It was very happy. It was gleefully happy. And it was wickedly giggling and whispering madness into my ear and also licking my ear. And it was rubbing my inner thigh it was just being creepy. And it was very excited and happy that I was so terrified and frozen in fear. Basically, its movements were very fluid, too. I don't really know how to explain it. It was very snake-like. It was a snake-like humanoid that looked like Venom from Spider-Man, but it was thin and pale. Large, very pale. Some parts were like white scales. Some parts like faded into, like the underbelly of a lizard's white. And it fades into green. It was very much like that, just a humanoid. And it went from white to pale green. But, I barely managed to, I've been a very devout follower of Christ throughout most of my life, simply because I had a couple dreams about Christ where he spoke to me when I was a child that pretty much changed my perspective on things. So I managed to barely mouth the word Jesus, and I mean barely, barely. Like, it was hardly a whisper of a whisper, because I could barely move, and it was all I could get out. I couldn't scream or breathe or do anything, but as soon as I did that, it vanished instantly, and not only could I see it out of the corner of my eye, I could feel it with my like a spiritual sense almost, like my gut feeling it brought such a strong presence with it and in such a condensed area that I could make out the details with my gut feeling, with my spiritual sense, you know. It's very difficult to explain, but it's very much like a condensed version of a gut feeling, so condensed in such a small area that you can make out the details of this form. You know, skip about 30 years later, I'm 37 now, a couple years ago, I was telling my buddy about this, and he's like, why don't you Google it? And I had never thought to Google it, because I always considered it such a bizarre, unique experience. I'm like, who the hell else is going to experience anything like this? You know, and I kind of forced myself to believe it was sleep paralysis for many years, and, you know, so I could kind of not break my sense of reality and just move on with life. And however, I found a forum full of stories with this exact creature in it, except a lot of these people didn't know Jesus and didn't get to mouth the name of Jesus, and it stuck around and kind of had its way with them, and they said it brought along shadow people with it. And I also looked up some mythology about it, that it eats fear from children. And I heard that this is a lot of what the elites of like Bohemian Grove type elites worship. Also, if you look at the movies, The Fourth Kind, I believe those aliens are demons, and that this may be an astral projection of one of those demons. And if you look at the movie The Fourth Kind and look at biblical description of demons and look at the behavior of those aliens in that movie, you know, the possession, the owls, Bohemian Grove worshiping owls, the speaking Sumerian, speaking about every time they spoke, it was all about blasphemy and creation and God. They abducted children, you know, Baal, child sacrifice, all that good stuff. It all seems to be related. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you guys. That was the most terrifying single experience of my entire life. And I believe God allowed that to happen to me, so I would believe others when these stories came up, you know, throughout my life, that I would listen and believe others and not just blow it off as nonsense. Yeah, there's definitely some real bizarre stuff out there. All right. Well, God bless you guys, and thank you for what you do. It's nice to have a safe place to talk about this stuff, and I wish you the best. Take care.
I always get an incubus and a succubus confused, and I was immediately going there with the behavior of this creature. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's one of those or if it's just demonic.
It's like rigatoni and...
Shut up.
What?
You're making fun of me.
No, I'm not. I'm comparing it to pasta.
Oh, okay.
I get it mixed up, too. Mm-hmm. What is the difference?
I don't know. I haven't Googled it.
Let's do some Googling.
Just the kind of almost sexual nature of it,
mm-hmm,
tends to go there.
Incubus is a bad American rock band from
Calabasas,
California, from 1991.
Okay, that's not what I'm talking about.
That's not... You're not talking about the rock band? Here we go. Incubus, not band, parentheses. A demon male who, according to mythological legend traditions, lies upon sleeping women in order to engage in sexual activity with them.
So not quite fitting here,
mm-hmm,
but that's where I kind of went with it mentally.
Succubus. That's the name of Creed after they changed their name.
Shut up.
Demon female form to seduce men. So there you go. One's...
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the type of demon that's going on here.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Interesting story. Thank you for sharing with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Jill.
Hi, Tony. This is Jill. I've called in a couple stories now, and I wanted to share one, and I hope that Carol is listening today because I know she always enjoys these type of stories. So my dad, unfortunately, and unexpectedly passed away just 2 months after my son was born. And my stepmom, who was married to him at the time, she said shortly after he had died, I guess it was probably the week he died, she had a dream about him. And she said in her dream, he came to her and he looked, you know, just the same as he always did, but his eyes looked really just hazy, like there was just something different about her eyes, enough that she noticed in her dream that something wasn't right. And she said she just couldn't, you know, figure out what. But anyway, she woke up, couldn't shake off the dream. Later that day, she got a call. My dad was an organ donor, and while he didn't have a whole lot of viable organs, apparently they were able to take his eyes or something from his eyes. So we thought that was pretty interesting that she had the dream about, you know, his eyes being, having something different about them. And then she gets a call that day that, you know, they were able to take that and give those eyes to somebody else. And another one about my dad was, so the house that he passed away in, he died of a massive heart attack. And the house that he passed away in, my stepmom couldn't stay in that house because it just was too hard. She actually saw him die there. So my son and my fiance and I ended up moving into that house. And we had my son go to his aunt's house the night that we moved all of our things in. So, you know, it was just too hard. But he was probably 5 or 6 months at the time. So we had him stay at his aunt's house. We moved in everything all night, slept there. The next morning, I was really eager to go get my baby. So I went over to his aunt's house and I got him. And my mom was waiting for me back at the house with some coffee. She wanted to be there for the first time that we brought my son back. I mean, he'd been to the house before, but this was the first time that it was our house. So when I brought my son back, I had him in his little pumpkin seat and I brought him inside and I set him down on the floor. And the minute that I set him down, every single light in the house that was on turned off and went back on. And my television, which was completely off, just turned on. And then I realized that I had set my son down in the exact spot where my dad had died on the living room floor. So I felt like it was, I just could feel my dad saying, you know, welcome home. And that feeling of, I'm so happy that you guys are going to be here. And we've had tons of experiences with my dad in that house. My son, actually, to this, ever since he was a small, small baby, like 6, 7 months old, I've always said, where's your grandpa? And I mean, keep in mind, my son was, you know, too young to ever remember. He was 2 months when my dad died. He has no, you know, recollection of him. But every time I've always said, where's your grandpa? He points right up to the sky and just smiles. And he's almost two and he still does that. And he'll just wave up to the air and point up there and smile. And it's bizarre. And again, we have tons of things that happen in that house. I've heard his voice numerous times. I've found different things and more things that I can call him with later. I don't want to take up too much time. But yeah, I just wanted to share that because I think those stories are always fun to listen to. And again, I hope Carol gets to listen to that because I know she always appreciates the stories. And I will call back with more soon. Bye. Thanks.
Carol?
I'm sure Carol will hear the story. I think it's the grandpa just watching out after the grandson, you know, and just trying to almost give a calming, hey, I'm going to keep an eye on everything kind of presence.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, you know, it's a fairly self-evident story where there's not a whole lot of analyzing that even really needs to go into it of what is it, why is it? It's kind of, it's there.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Thank you for sharing that that story with us. We do greatly appreciate. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the show. If you want tickets for the program that's going to be going on in Lexington coming up on August 24th, go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on tour dates. Tickets are available for that there. Ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories to become an extra podcast person. Check it out. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.